Reverend Shaw Henson, if you'll come at this time. And brother, you are being recorded here in a few moments, so if you'll speak into the microphone, keep in mind your wife's sitting out there, in case you say anything, you know, you might not want on the internet, but just messing with you this morning. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
And I got, this is your bottle of water here.
Thank you. I will be using it, brother.
Yeah, better. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Some holy water. I want to say good morning to all. It is a privilege to be here. Don't get mad at Miss Barbara if you don't like my preaching today. She is the only one that I think I know that's here. But I know, too, the preachers that y'all have in. If you have Reverend Bumbry in and Reverend Johnson, I know both of them for many years. So I kind of got a hard sermon this morning. I said, Lord, I've never been there before, but you've given me one. It's not easy to preach, but I know one thing, it's better to follow God than what I want. Amen. It's okay if you say amen. I get a little excited when I preach. I'll stay here the best I can. This past week, I got real sick. The job that I do a lot of maintenance work, and I had a very rough job last weekend. And then I got sick, and I've been sick this whole week. But praise God for that. There's nothing wrong with that. It helps us appreciate when we're feeling good.
Yes, it does.
Amen. Makes you thankful. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Now, how long do y'all usually go?
Unless you got to preach somewhere else, brother, you got it as long as you want.
Yes, sir. Actually, Lord willing, we're going to try to make it to our home church this morning. I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings of us blasting off. But my pastor, our church is at 11 o'clock, and I love my pastor, Pastor Harbin. I'll say this real quick. The way I know Miss Barbara, as I fill in over at City of Refuge right now, Baptist Church in, I guess it's Orange. I've been filling in there about every other week, and I've pastored for 10 years two other churches, and God's given me a little break right now, and he's put us at Zion Baptist Church in Orange. And I tell you what, my pastor, Pastor Harbin, has been a dear friend and a great help during this time. So I just, if we can make it there, I'm going to do my best to do that. All right. Judges chapter number 2, if you know anything about your Bible, the book of Judges is not a happy book. The book of Judges, what you find in the book of Judges is you find the nation of Israel, every man, the key verses are found where it said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And if you get into that state of mind where you do that which is right in your own eyes, there's nothing that's wrong. Amen. Everything that was right in their own eyes, you can justify and say, this, I think this is all right. I think this is all right. If you have no standard of right or wrong. And you see that in the book of Judges. And what happens because of that, you have them where you have the nation of Israel where they do right. God blesses them. God delivers them out of bondage. They do great. They do wonderful. They repent. Get right with God. And then as soon as the judgment comes off of them, then they turn from God and begin to sin and go after idols. It's just up and down, up and down. When things get good, they say, we don't need God no more. And then they start to go down because things are good and they forget about God. They forget about walking with him. They forget about his commandments, forget about his testimonies. They begin to do what is right in their eyes. Then they go down. Then God allows them to go into captivity. Then they repent and say, oh, God, forgive us. Oh, God, please deliver us. Then Lord, in his mercy, would deliver them. And then back again. Amen. And the message this morning is losing the knowledge of God in one generation. Judges chapter 2, and we're going to be reading in verse 7. And we're going to turn a couple other places this morning, but it's only back in Deuteronomy. And if you listen fast, I'll preach fast. and we'll be done. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, and the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Let us pray, please. Heavenly Father, I do pray for this morning. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to hold your precious word and to be able to preach. Thank you for these folks that's come out, Lord. I pray now that you'd forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your precious blood, Lord Jesus, that I might not say anything, Lord, that's grievous to your Holy Ghost or contrary to your precious word. So say those things, Lord, which you want me to say, which would edify, which would build up. Lord, I don't know the hearts here, Father, but you do. And I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, never been born again, I pray first and foremost for that soul, that they may be saved, or at least the seed be planted. Lord, I know the power of your Holy Ghost, and I depend upon him right now to do the work which I cannot do. I pray for those that are saved here today that the devil's working on, those that are being pulled, those that are being drawn. Lord, I pray for deliverance for them. I ask you, Father, by your power, do whatever each heart needs. And I'll be careful to give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we're coming up on the 4th of July and about our nation's birth and the freedoms that we have. And this message didn't come in light of that. This message came, but it fits. Because I see some similarities right here between the nation of Israel and our nation today. There's some great similarities found right here. It's an amazing thing to think that a nation can lose God in such a short period of time. I'm sorry, bro. Man, it's hard for me to hold one of these. No, I'll stand still. I'll do that. I'll try. I need to do that better anyhow. Can you hear me? Thank you. If any generation should have ever loved God, it should be this generation, which we're reading about right here in Judges chapter 2. This generation right here was the first generation that was born in the land of promise. Because before that, their people had been in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. Then they were sustained by God in the wilderness for 40 years. Then they fought to get their liberty under Joshua. Amen. This generation here that we find in the book of Judges, they did not have to shed blood for their freedom. They were born free. And yet with that blessing, with that freedom, they turned from the author of liberty. You would think if any generation should have been thankful to God, if any generation should have sought the face of God, it should have been rejoicing and thanking God, it should be this generation. But what happens is people, it's easy for us as people, when things get easy, to forget about God. When things get well, when we don't have the trouble, then we don't pray. I know that's not, so what? This will be your last time, Brother Shaw. If I've got anything to say, I will say, do not bring that one back. No. But what I want to preach, I want to tell you the truth while I'm here. If I'm going to preach anything, it's going to be to help you. Yes. And many times to help somebody that's injured, you've got to show them they're injured. For me to get help this past week, I've been sick. I had to say, listen, I'm sick. I need a remedy. And what's wrong with our country? Many do not see their need for God. Why? Because we've been so blessed.
Amen.
We've been so blessed. You say, well, brother, I'm struggling. I've got it rough. I live in poverty. Our country really doesn't know what poverty is. In comparison to the rest of this world. Well, we consider poverty, and I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in what's considered poverty in America. I grew up what was considered poor white trash. My mama left my daddy. My daddy was a drunk. My mama was a drunk. Lived with my grandma. Didn't have a bedroom. Slept on the couch. Was on food stamps. Got government assistance at school. Got a lunch ticket. I grew up in what's considered poverty in America. But when you look at poverty in the world, even in my poverty, I still had a whole lot.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's people in this world, folks, that are in true poverty. They don't have food. They don't have a place. You say, you poor thing, you slept on the couch. Thank God for a couch.
Amen.
We think poverty is not having air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
We think poverty is not having three cars.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We think poverty is not being able to go out to eat three times in a week.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, Brother Shaw, man, I don't have health insurance. You can still go to the doctor. You can still go down to the emergency room, and they will not deprive you of health care. I know that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Even sick, I get excited when I preach. I'm going to tell you something. This nation right here, they did not have poverty. They had the blessings of God on them. And they forsook the one that gave them the milk and honey. They forsook the one that fulfilled the promise that he gave to Abraham. He said, Abraham, this is your nation. This is your country. This is the land that I promised to you and to your children after you. Do you understand when God gave that promise to Abraham, it never was fulfilled until this time. And the first ones that actually enjoyed the fulfillment turned their back on God.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. How sad. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking at a nation right now that I'm living in. I thank God for the freedoms that I have. I thank God for the blessings that I have, but I see a nation that is turning their back on God. God has been so good to us. God has been so good to this sinner that's standing before you today. I go to my house, I got a refrigerator. Amen. That's a big word. Full of food. I got a pantry full of food. To the glory of God.
Right.
To the glory of God.
Amen.
But there's been some times where I forgot about him in my busyness.
Oh.
Forgot about him because I've been, man, I'm working, God. I'm the one doing, I got to do all these things. I got to do all these things. And he is the one that is giving it. And I forgot about him and his blessing. They forsook the giver of all. These scriptures aren't here for a history lesson only. It's for our admonition and our learning, for our example, what we should follow and not follow. I read a story one time about a man. Stand here. That he left his house one day, had a snowstorm the night before. And as his normal manner of life was, he left the house, and like my daddy did, he walked down to go to the barn. And as he left his house, he didn't realize that he had his little son was following him. And as he was walking in the snow, that little boy was hopping in his daddy's footsteps. And as the dad made a turn to go into the bar, he saw his son. And his son said, Daddy, I'm following in your footsteps, Daddy. Daddy, I'm following in your footsteps. Where are we leading our children? By our example. By our example. God has given us these things to show us what to follow and what to not to follow. There was a spiritual breakdown in Israel, and I believe it's a spiritual breakdown in America. What brought about this? I've prayed about this. I'm like, God, how can this happen? How can a generation, after all that you did for them, how could they rise up in one generation and forget you? Isn't that what verse 10 said?
Yes.
There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Why? Keep your place right there, please, and turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. There was a breakdown. I've already hit on it. The pride that can follow prosperity. The pride that can follow prosperity. I want you to see it in God's word so you don't just think I'm the one babbling off about it. Because what I think, what I feel, what I believe don't mean anything. It's what God's word says. This is his eternal word. This is what helps us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gives the nation of Israel some warnings on their way to the promised land. Because he knows human nature. He knows our nature. Verse 10. He said this, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. That's when we should praise him, shouldn't we?
Yes.
But he knows us, verse 11, beware that thou what? Forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of Flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee what? Good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Do y'all see the parallel? He said, do not forget me. When you finally have gotten what I'm bringing you into, when you finally receive the land, when you finally go into that land flowing of milk and honey, do not forget me. Do not forget my word. And the way you're going to forget me is because you're going to think you have what you have because of you. See, Brother Shaw, God didn't give me anything. I've worked hard for everything I got. I'm going to tell you something. The mind you got, God gave you.
Amen.
The strength that you have to go to work, God gave you. The air that you're breathing and I'm breathing is a gift from God. And it can be taken away just like that. Everything can change in just one moment. I'm going to tell you something. Last Saturday, I was feeling strong and I was feeling fine. But come Monday morning, I couldn't even barely tell you who I was. It changed that fast. Miss Barbara this morning, back's hurting, changed just that quick, didn't it? God is a giver of life. God is a giver of blessing. And we ought never to forget him. When was the last time you said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. Most of the time, you know what we say? We complain about what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we do have.
Amen.
Many times we pray when the power goes out. God, please turn this power back on. God, why is this happening to me? Instead of being thankful all the time for when the power is on. Amen. I mean, and that's just human nature is we don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And it's sad it's that way. Pride of prosperity. Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings in Israel, one that God used to bring revival. You know, the downfall of Hezekiah's life wasn't when things were bad. When Sennacherib came against him to battle, when the evil and the wicked was on him, and God Almighty, he was seeking the face of God, and God was blessing. God was answering prayer. Hezekiah was on his deathbed, turned to that wall and said, "Oh God, remember me." And God healed him. After God healed him, you know what happened? He began to build up his prosperity. He began to increase his gold. He began to increase his wealth. Then the Babylonians came and he said, "Come here, I'm going to show you what I've done. I'm going to show you what has happened to me, what I've built." Then Isaiah came back to him and said, Hezekiah, everything you showed in Babylonians, they're going to take one day. Your children, Hezekiah, they're going to take your children, Hezekiah. They're going to make your sons eunuchs. They're not going to be able to be fathers. They're going to take them into captivity. You know what Hezekiah said? He said, "That's okay as long as it's good in my life." Read it. He said, "That's okay, long as it's good in my days." Something changed in Hezekiah. What happened? He got his eyes on the blessings and forgot about the blesser. And that pride came in and said, "Look what I've done. Look what I've done." And that's what he was showing those Babylonians. "Look what I've done." Instead of showing them, "This is what God has done." What's happening in America? "Look what we've done." There is no God anymore. Everything we have is nothing but by chance. Isn't that what you believe? If you believe in evolution, that's exactly what you believe.
Yes, that's right.
Everything you've got, everything that you have, the way our world is in this universe is just by coincidence. I've got a scientific DVD, a lady loaned me. I give it back to her. It was amazing. That thing explained about the wonders of our bodies.
Yes.
And the wonders of our world. If the earth was just a little bit farther from the sun, we would freeze. It was just a little bit closer, we would burn up. If it didn't have that little wobble, I mean, everything about it, God did it to sustain. The way this body is made is no accident. There's no way to say this just happened or it just got better. I've never seen anything get better than I got. It just gets worse. My body was a whole lot stronger at 18 than it is now at 38. It's gone down. I don't have the stamina I had at 18. So I do, Brother Shaw. Well, God bless you. Do you have as much hair as you had when you was 18? Mine done got frostbite. Something ought to happen in the wintertime. It's done got frozen. I'm working with a painter the other day. The first day I went back to work on Friday, and my boss went on the job, and he said, "Brother Shaw," he said, "now there's some fellas there working now. They're like some of them old boys from your neighborhood now." He said, "They're wild, they're rough. I said, "It's all right, Jerry. That's how I grew up, bro. You know, nothing nobody says shocks me." The old boy rolled up on me. He told Jerry that day, he said, "Jerry," he said, "I've been smoking dope since I was 15 and I'm 45 and I ain't planning on stopping that." Jerry was like, "Look, you can do what I'm sorry, I got away from it, didn't I? Come back over here. Get back. Back to the orange thing.
You take it with
me. I'll take it with me. Oh, I hate that thing. It feels the power." That old boy said, "I've been smoking dope for 30 years. I ain't planning on stopping now." I said, "Jerry, I've dealt with plenty of them. Let me give you I'll take a little pit stop on marijuana for a minute. A preacher friend of mine, and I grew up around it. You ain't got to come up to me and say, "Brother Shaw, you just don't understand." I do. This old preacher, he was preaching one time. He was preaching at a youth detention center. And he hit smoking weed. And this girl stood up and started waving her hand. "I got a question." He said, "Here we go." He said, "All right, what's your question?" She said, "If God didn't want us smoking weed, why has he let it grow?" Sat down. And everybody was like, "Uh-huh." I said, "That's a good question." He's like, "Oh, God, give me something to say." He said, God made poison ivy too. It don't mean you ought to wallow in it. Amen. 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 I'm saying all that to say this. That old boy that I was just talking about, I mean, he just is rough. I mean, I grew up around guys just like him. They don't bother me at all. I love them. I care about them. I tell them about Jesus and how God's got a better way. I don't need to get high on something else. I don't have to have a fifth of anything. I've got the whole of everything. To the glory of God. But you know that old boy, he didn't pull none of that stuff on me. And Danny, one of his co-workers, had already told him about me. He started telling me about his daughter. He said, I got a 15-year-old daughter that loves God. I said, really? And that girl's been putting it on him. Putting it on him. She goes to church by herself since she was 6 years old. Thank God for somebody to take a little one to church. Your family won't. She's been going to church. That girl is on fire for God. She goes into her science class and told her science teacher, she said, listen, I don't believe nothing you are teaching me. I didn't come for no monkey, but I'm going to do what you're telling me to do so I can pass your class. But I want to let you know right up front, I don't believe none of it. And that little girl, I mean, she lays it on her dad. He started talking about marijuana. She said, don't you even go there with God. Don't you bring God up in that marijuana. Don't you even do it. God's using that little girl to get a hold of her daddy. To get a hold of her daddy. And that girl's got some grit. She got some guts for the glory of God. Uh-oh. That's why I don't like this thing. The wand of power. What am I doing wrong, bro? I'm sorry. I gotta hurry anyway. Brother Mays Jackson, one of the great preachers, years gone by, he went to college, and one of his professors, he wasn't even saved at the time. He grew up during the Depression years. He grew up when there was real hard times, when there wasn't food on the table, and when people sought the face of God for their daily needs. I'm just being honest with y'all. We, when it comes down to truly needs, few of us really need. Amen. Lord, give us this day our daily needs. We've got so much, and I'm just being honest. We've got so much. It's easy to forget. But he said that professor was talking about there is no God. There is no God. This thing is just, and he was talking about evolution. And Brother Mays said, he wasn't even Brother Mays back in. He said, Mr. Professor, I have to tell you this. He said, my mom was a Christian woman. And when we didn't have, my daddy died, and when we didn't have any food in the cupboard, he said, I heard my mama go back in the bedroom and get on her face and call on God, and food came. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know somebody sent it. Somebody outside of us. Prosperity. Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth in honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. See, when you're full, even something sweet don't mean much. Amen? Jailhouse religion. We go to God when things are bad, and then when things get good, we forget about him. That's what I believe one of the things that led to Israel losing God. What else? Now I'm going to hurry. I got to hurry. I'm going to make it church. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to lead into my next 2 points. Turn you loose. I've been very patient and very easy to deal, to preach to. Because this isn't an easy message. I know that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God tells them this. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You see, all this happened before the book of Judges. God's preparing them. This, I know, is fixing to happen to y'all, but it don't have to happen. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto who? Thy children shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up.
Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees that thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou, here we go again, forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What was the next thing I believe led them to losing God? In one generation, the parents did not teach the children. There was a breakdown from the older generation to the younger generation. See, the church has been made a substitute for teaching the children about the Lord. If I just bring the kids to church and throw them at the church, and I'm not saying, like I said, thank God for the people that brought that little girl to church and taught her about God. But when it comes as a nation, well, you got a nation of people where at home the parents live different than they live here. When they're not just getting reinforcement, but that's where the foundation is, at the house. The Bible's read at the house, not just at the church. Amen. This means amen. When I put my hand up to my ear, that means I'm waiting for a response. Amen, and I like being amen. Or oh me, I've said oh me many times. Crawled under the bench, oh God, forgive me. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Right here, he said, you're supposed to teach your children. Isn't that what he just said? The parents are to teach your children. When you go down the street, you teach your children about God. When you're sitting at the house, teach them about God. You teach them about the principles. You teach them, this is why we do what we do, and this is why we don't do some things. Amen. See, I grew up around drinking and drugs. That's how I came up. That's all I knew. And when I got saved and when I got born again, all my friends thought I went totally crazy. I was Megadeth, Metallica, Black Sabbath, anti-God music. Amen. On the highway to hell with AC/DC. That was my world. Jump in the fire, killer, intruder, homicidal man. If you see me, come and run as fast as you can. I'm a bloodthirsty demon. I'm stalking the streets. I hack up my victims like pieces of meat. That junk still stays in my head. That's the kind of junk that I filled my life with before I got born again. And God came, saved my soul, changed my life. Now my girls, those three little girls you saw standing up here, they have no idea how I grew up. You know why? Because of Him. And by the grace of God, we want to teach them. Listen, daddy doesn't live like that. Daddy doesn't drink. You know why? Because the Lord says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. I'm trying to teach them what to do and what not to do and why. It's not because we're better than anybody else. Many times people think that about Christians. Well, you think you're better than everybody else. No, I know I ain't no better than nobody else. But God has made a change. And I want to live my life to His glory, to His praise and His honor. And the instructions that He gives in His word is for our good always. Amen. And what He says not to do is for our own good. Amen. You know, right now, I have the cure for sexually transmitted diseases. I've got the cure. I've got the cure. It's found right here. Flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is out the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. If we would obey that, we wouldn't have that trouble. But you know what we want? We want a solution after the fact. We want to continue in our sin, but get a Band-Aid fix at the end. No, it don't work that way. If you want the answer, it's found right here. But many times we don't want the answer. Amen. We want to do what we want to do and make it okay. That's what this whole thing, there ain't no stuff with toleration. I tolerate everybody. but I just ain't going to say it's right. Amen. Amen. Christianity, intolerant, intolerant. No, I tolerate everybody, but I'm just not going to say it's right before God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been nice meeting y'all. You don't hear much preaching like this anymore, and that's one of the reasons why our country's gone down. And lastly, if you fail to teach the children, and what he said right here in verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontless between thine eyes. He's talking about the word of God. And in Matthew chapter 23, the Pharisees, you know what they had? Jesus made a statement. Let me read it to you. In Matthew 23, verse 5, to the Pharisees, religious leaders. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. You know, a phylactery, what that was, the Pharisees loved to dress in beautiful clothes. They loved to dress in their religious apparel. And they used to, the phylacteries, they were little boxes that they put on their wrists and they would put over their forehead. And those phylacteries had scriptures in it. And they did that in what they considered obedience to Deuteronomy. It was on their hand and it was on their forehead, but it was not in their heart. Religion had become just a tradition, not a relationship with God. I believe that's what happened in Israel. The parents quit telling the kids about what God had done. They had forgot about God through their prosperity, and what religious activity was going on was just out of pure formalism rather than truly desiring to meet God. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. And what I believe is missing in the church today, what's missing in America today, is the power of God in the church. Amen. See, our kids, you say, Brother, I'll bring my kids to church, but just bringing them to the church is enough. There's got to be the power of the Holy Ghost at church to keep them in the church. Because if it's just the formality of it. See, the formality isn't what saved my soul. You know what saved me? It was God Almighty reaching down and shaking a sinful teenager on his way to hell that never knew anything different than that. It was God met me. And the Holy Ghost of God, I wasn't even at church when I got saved. I'll give you my testimony real quick. I know I've gone way too long. And I'll shut up. When I got saved December 8th, 1990. It was a week before I turned 17. My mama, like I said, I grew up on the wild side. And my mama had gotten saved, watch the 700 Club. She started sending us to church. And finally, I got old enough where I didn't want to ride a church van no more. And she worked a lot of Sunday. Me and my sister quit going to this one little church. And at that little church, I'm just be honest, there were some nice people, but God wasn't there. I'm just being honest, God wasn't there. It just was nice people. And I thought, man, if this is all that is, I don't need this. Because there's life out there in the world. You know why people get high? Because it feels good. You know people get drunk? You know why they go to the party? Because there's life there. Nobody wants to go hang out at the funeral home. Amen. And a lot of churches ain't nothing but a glorified funeral home. Bunch of dead folks sitting there waiting, just going through the same motion. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I don't want to drag my kids into somewhere where it's just going to be dead. I want my kids to know the power and the touch of God. And mama started taking us. I got 15. 16, my sister was 7, she's 2 years older than me, and we both were going plumb wild. She said, I got to do something. She started taking us to this one church, lady at work invited her. And I hated every minute of it. I sit back here, and I hated it. That man get up there and preach. I was like, shut up. Get me out of here. But there's one old boy there that knew God. That boy had gotten saved. He brought me a video. Back, there was no DVDs in. It was a video. He said, I want you to watch it. They've been praying for me Over a year sat in that church, hating every bit of it. But the Holy Ghost of God was preparing my heart. Never knew no different. Took that video home, put it in the tape player. I put it in the VCR just to get it over with. Because I knew next time Mama drove me to church, he's going to say, did you watch that video? I just assumed he went home after we went to the buffet, of course, got some Chinese food. Then went home, put it in. I said, okay, let me get it over with. It was an old mountain preacher from North Carolina, well, young mountain preacher from North Carolina, doing a slide presentation on heavy metal music. He said, man, he should never gave it to you because that would offend you, wouldn't it? Because that was your world. I mean, that's being offensive. I mean, there's nothing, thank God for being offended. And that preacher preached, and the Holy Ghost of God came to 217 Ben Farm Road in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I was sitting there in a rocking chair when that thing was going on. And I was about to burn a hole through the floor, rocking back and forth watching that. So was it the words that that man was preaching? It was the Spirit of the living God. Using the precious word of God and all those prayers over that year. And there was a dear sweet saint down in Lynchburg that was been praying for me since I was 6 years old after we left my daddy. We lived a year down there praying that God would get a hold of us. I didn't even know it. And I was rocking in that chair, rocking in that chair, rocking in that chair. And God said, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to burn in hell for all eternity. You don't have to go to hell. That video went off. Like I said, there was no preacher there. There was no soul winner there. But the Holy Ghost and the power of God was there. And I went in the bedroom, got down beside it, my mama's bed. And I said, God, save me from hell. Lord God, save me from hell. I don't want to go to hell. That's when I got saved. The Lord changed me. I talked to a Jewish man many years later, and he said, see, that whole thing with church and all that whole thing with religion is nothing but a crutch for weak people. They just need something. See, you needed that. You needed it because of where you grew up. I said, listen, buddy, I didn't even know I needed it. That's all I ever knew. I didn't know I needed a crutch. It was when God showed up. And when I began to tell that Jewish man that, man, God was showing up at his living room. I said, you can't deny when the Spirit of the living God shows up and begins to show you. When I dealt with that man, he said, I don't want to hear from that book. You can talk to me about anything you want to talk to me about, but I don't want nothing from that book. I said, it's going to be hard for me to talk to you because this book is what God's used to change my life. But I, by the word of our testimony, I began to testify what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. See, I wasn't looking for God. And what we need for this generation to see is not see, experience God. See, my prayer for coming in here this morning is that God will touch each heart that's in here. I know what this is nothing, but I know what God wants to do in each and every heart. And he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can change you. I can't. All I can do is some of the things I said is make you mad this morning if it's not for God. But I'm looking to see God, the Holy Ghost, do a move in these last days that we're living. He's still able. And what he's looking for is, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I will heal their land, forgive their sin. I know I messed it up, but that's the gist of it. God wants to do a work, but he needs some people that he can work through. And more than we need church, we need God in the church. And we can't do it without repentance. We can't do it living filthy lives. We got to do it being obedient to his word. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these dear saints and for the opportunity to preach. Lord, if I said anything wrong, I ask you to forgive me, God. Lord, I ask you to meet each need that's in here. If
thank you for their patience. In Jesus' name, amen.